Studios, the best sports show
on this station at this time.
It's Mike and the Haas
on WASR,
powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hossick.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae and alongside Charlie, the birthday boy, Charlie Hossack. Oh,
much appreciated.
58, 59, what is it?
It was 51.
58.
I know you're older than me. I haven't surpassed you yet.
Yeah, we are Mike and the Haas today. And Eric, you know, I give you a hard time about the music, but I was grooving with Dolly in 9 to 5 just now.
I'm glad you liked it.
You actually officially annoyed me, and I didn't let you know that, but with your drumming over there, you drummed through the whole song.
I did, and I didn't miss a beat.
No,
you were fantastic. I know that.
On the drums.
So I annoyed you finally 5 days together, and I finally annoyed you?
I know. This is day 5 that the three of us have been together.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to a break. No, I'm just kidding. We've had a good time.
We had Weekend at Bernie's, as we call it.
Which it truly was. Yeah.
It was spectacular, and I think the three of us could agree with that. My one takeaway is that I hope everybody in life gets to meet somebody like Bernie.
Absolutely.
The man is so giving and so generous and so kind that I hope that everybody can have a chance to have a Bernie in their life.
Right.
You know, obviously we're fond of him from being here and everything like that, but go down there, he's worshipped.
He is worshipped,
and rightfully so.
Yep.
So, again.
Bernie, I know you're listening. Much appreciated weekend, and you're a truly wonderful human being, and you just do great things for everyone. And I'm not just saying just us, but just we could see that. We could see how wonderful a human you are from all the people that we got to interact and meet down in Philadelphia, that the lives that you've touched. So thanks again, Bernie.
Thank you, Bernie. All right. We could actually talk about the weekend a little bit.
We'll talk about the weekend. I just want to let you know that I think, you know, we had and Eric, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, what I'm going to say, you didn't have an opportunity to join us Friday evening, but I think it may have been a tryout for our next radio show. Bernie was really just kind of giving us political topic after political topic after political topic. And the two of us were actually, just like we are now, we're actually a little bit farther away.
Was a seafood tower in between us.
There was a seafood tower in between us. Just kind of went at it. And it was really fun.
We went at it hard.
I really enjoyed it. And, you know, it's unfortunate that you don't have a lot of clarity with your thinking and political views.
That's not necessary. I thought we had good debate.
No, I'm just teasing. I thought we had fantastic debate.
I definitely felt that I won, but that's...
I didn't realize it was a winner or a loser.
Bernie was keeping
tabs. What we really need is... it's interesting, and I know that we sit here and we talk, and there are some things we agree on and some things we're pretty far away, but I think just the... You know, not that we're going to use Mike and the Haas as a model for this, but wouldn't it be nice, like the takeaway I have, wouldn't it be nice if we could get back to a society where we could have civil debate, which is what we had, agree on some things, disagree on others, but still, you know, we still hung out the rest of the weekend.
But we also, the goal was partly to find common ground.
Absolutely.
During that. And so this was 3 hours, folks, of just, you know, Charlie and I just, you know, going at it. And a lot of the times the discussions went to, so which part of this do you agree with? Which part do I agree? And finding common ground. It was really a moderate political debate.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, it wasn't extremist.
No.
It was moderate, where we were trying to find middle ground, which was healthy too.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about, can we talk about the seafood tower? And it's funny because my birthday was yesterday, and it was 51, and my wife posted a picture that you had actually taken the picture, Mike, of the seafood tower that I'm in, and it was just wow. I've never experienced a seafood tower, and I certainly have never experienced a seafood tower like that.
Well, we were kind of joking. The seafood towers that, you know, I might have been like a couple cans of tuna fish and imitation crab meat,
ring. Yeah, that's about it.
It is online. Charlie's wife did post it, but it was the top shelf were lobsters, plural.
Yes.
And
with a big bowl of crab meat.
With crab, it was just so delicious. And the bottom shelf was giant shrimp and oysters.
Oh, boy.
And
you made the right call because you asked for some horseradish. So we had that to add to it and all these different delicious sauces. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And that was just the appetizer.
That just got us
that
going.
Sorry, Eric. I wish you could have been there, but certainly there was more for us.
Yeah. I was still fighting motion sickness.
You got hit pretty hard going down.
Yeah.
Coming back, you seemed fine, though.
I took my Dramamine much earlier this time.
That's good. That was a good move. So. But the highlight was the dessert plate. Can we talk about the dessert plate?
Yeah.
We could talk about the dessert plate.
The dessert plate was amazing. So if you've never been to WASR.net, right? It's .net.
Right, yep.
Go to WASR.net and check out what the logo is. And you'll see the logo. You'll see the WASR. And what Bernie had done by the people at the restaurant is they created this dessert plate with the WASR logo. With 97.1 FM and 1420 AM, and then it was filled with cheesecake and torts and all sorts of deliciousness. Yeah. And it was made out of chocolate and all edible stuff, and it was just fantastic.
it was spectacular. Yeah. And Bernie does sponsor the stream here.
Yes,
so,
he does.
So at the end of the show, you hear thanks to the Heinz Group of Philadelphia and London.
Right,
and that's Bernie.
That is Bernie. So. All right, well, wonderful weekend. Thank you, Bernie. Mike and the Hoss is powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro. Can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM, and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar. And, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you're in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you're there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Hoss or WASR to receive $5 off a Gingy Box. You can always join our conversation at 603-569-LAKE, 603-569-5253. All right. We got quite a bit to talk about today, don't we?
Do. There's a lot. I mean, it's great. Coming off a weekend, NFL weekend.
Yeah.
Talk a little baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
All right, so let's just get right to it. So opening day is brought to you by Hancock Lumber.
For all your building supply needs.
And I'll be kind of quick with my, even though you still wrote up
I didn't
a
write
research
this. This
paper.
More, it's not. I'm not writing that. This was just information to add to it because I thought if you look at this, there's some interesting points here that we'll get to after you start your take.
Yeah, but I had most of those points. Whatever. You write. You do you, as they say.
Yeah.
You do you.
I appreciate that.
NFL's ending the Pro Bowl. And I said good riddance, and that's pretty much where I ended.
Yeah,
I think that we've talked about not just the football All-Star game because that's what the Pro Bowl is, but baseball All-Star, hockey All-Star, NBA All-Star, and we've ranked them. Which one's the best one? Which one's the worst one? Football comes in last all the time,
always
because.
Because they're not going to hit each other.
Well, after a grueling 17, 18, 19 game season, something like that.
Yeah,
depending on the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
And if these guys make it through without an injury, the last thing they want to do is go do 6 months of rehab because they blew out their knee in the Pro Bowl when it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And they don't really get. I mean, they do get some money for it, but not. I guess I'd be happy with the money they get too. But anyway, they don't want to get hurt, so therefore nobody hits it. It's not a real football game. And so they're finally ending it. And nobody goes to these games either. That's a whole other thing. Nobody goes to these games.
And it used to be in Hawaii, and there's a big hoopla around that. That doesn't happen.
So they're ending it, and they're putting in a skills competition, a week-long skills competition. And so you got some stuff in here. Do you want to?
Yeah, no, just talking about they're going to have a skills competition. They're going to do a little 7-versus-7, which is great. That's exciting. So the passing game. Yep. They're taking 88 of the best NFL players, and they're going to send them there. The part that I thought was really cool is Peyton Manning and Peyton Manning's role. I don't know if you knew this, but Peyton Manning has a production company.
Yeah, it's his production company that's putting this together.
The Omaha Productions Company. And Peyton Manning's going to coach one of the flag football teams, and he's going to be Peyton Manning's kind of going to be the center point of this. And it just kind of – I'm excited about it. Like, I think skills competition, all that stuff, I think it'll be great. I don't want to see a football game, and we're not going to see that. But it got me thinking about TB12 because I'm thinking, I suspect when Tom finally retires that, maybe it's going to be Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning.
Old-timers game?
I don't know. I don't necessarily know about an old-timers game, but, Tom will be coaching one team. Peyton Manning will be coaching the other 7v7 team, that type of thing. And maybe they'll team up. There were rivalries on the field getting together. I don't know. These are just things that I'm thinking about, how it would be really cool where someone like me that really likes Peyton Manning and obviously is currently still obsessed with Tom Brady would tune in year after year to kind of see this.
Is this something that you would look this whole skills competition 7-on-7? Is this something that you will, one, look forward to, or two, stop at as you're turning through the channels on that Saturday afternoon?
I think it's the latter. I mean, I don't think I'm going to plan my day around the skills competition, but it's something that I'd want to see, or I'd probably want to see more of the highlights.
Is it necessary?
It's probably not necessary, but there are, I mean, I know we aren't like this, but I think there are fans out there that really truly enjoy that experience. You know, they want to see if their wide receiver is faster than, you know, the rival team's wide receiver, you know, and running, maybe they're running 40-yard dashes or doing, you know, shuttles or whatever.
Right.
But I think that's what they want to see. But the other thing is how cool, I have to say, the 7-on-7 sounds really cool because you can have your best defensive backs against your best, you know, receivers and your best quarterbacks. I mean, that I think that would be fun.
Aren't they minimizing the linemen and the linebackers and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, they're minimizing.
They're saying that you're not Pro Bowl worthy, you're not important?
It doesn't say that they're not going to be there because there'll be other competitions. Maybe there'll be a sled push. Who knows? I'm just saying. But don't you think it'll be cool to really see in a situation where you have the best quarterbacks in the league thrown to the best wide receivers and the best DBs? That's going to be fun.
I am of the I might stop if there's nothing else on and stop and watch a few minutes. I could care less about the Pro Bowl, the skills competition, the 7-on-7 and all that kind of stuff. I might stop and watch it, but this is not going to be on my radar in any way, shape, or form. I just...
Now, is there... let me ask you a question. Do you watch the home run? So if you go switch to baseball, do you watch the home run contest?
I stop as I'm flipping through it.
Okay. So I think if they can...
And I've gone to the home run hitting contest, and it was pretty neat being there
for it. When it was at Fenway, right?
When it was at Fenway. But when it comes to... I don't know, guys. Jack, they hit so many home runs now. It's you know,
BP.
The winning is like 45, 50 home runs in whatever time limit they have. It's like, how many can you watch?
Right. Well, what I was trying to get at is if they create something, because there seems to still be a lot of excitement around the home run competition for fans.
Yes.
Fans like that. So if the NFL can create something that is as exciting as the MLB has done, then maybe the NFL will catch on to something. Because nobody really watches, I mean, the NFL Pro Bowl. I mean, I would definitely say, and I know we've ranked all this stuff, I probably would stop while I'm flipping and watch the Major League Baseball All-Star game. Because you can't fake it. Pitchers have to pitch and hitters have to hit.
Are you going
to
stay on it?
Probably not.
Okay.
And I liked it back when we said this before. I liked it back when the winning team got home field advantage
I
for the World Series.
I agree.
So if you could put some care into it. For the NFL, I like it. I like what they're doing. Get rid of the Pro Bowl. I mean, that was your take. It's gone, and I don't think anybody's going to care.
I don't care that the Pro Bowl's gone, and I don't care what they replaced it with.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't. I mean, I'd say good riddance on the Pro Bowl because that was a joke, for lack of a better word.
Now, here's my other question for you, though. The Pro Bowl... That, when you look at candidates that go into the Hall of Fame, that always came up. You know, he's a 6-time Pro Bowler. You know, so how are they still going? I don't know the answer to this. Are they still going to select that you make the Pro Bowl? You're an All Pro.
I hope not.
You're an All Pro.
All Pro is different than
Pro
Bowl.
It is.
Mac Jones was in the Pro Bowl last year.
Right.
He was the third alternate, and he got in.
I totally get that, but they always mention that when it comes down to Hall of Fame voting.
Yeah, and I don't think it means anything.
Okay.
I don't think it means anything, and maybe the guys that are going in the Hall of Fame now, because the Pro Bowl has lost so much flair in the NFL because of all-pro status has now taken over, which is much more of a legitimate
that's real.
Stat
real
or
deal.
Award.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see Pro Bowl. I mean— Pro Bowls are voted by the players, I believe. I think Pro Bowl is aren't Pro
no,
Bowl
Pro
players?
Bowls. We vote for Pro Bowls.
I don't think we vote for Pro Bowl. I think
we'll have to find that. We're gonna have Eric. Could you go onto the Google machine?
Pro Bowl versus All Pro.
Yeah, Pro Bowl versus All Pro, and then maybe when we come back from break, we'll kind of figure out what the difference is.
Awesome. And we'll do your take when we come back. All right, Hancock Lumber, in business for nearly 175 years, is a seventh-generation integrated forest products company who is passionate about its people-first and values-driven culture. Team Hancock is a multi-year recipient of the Best Place to Work in Maine Award. Hancock's 11 existing lumber yards, truss and wall panel manufacturing facilities Timberlands, 9 kitchen design showrooms, and 3 sawmills will provide their new team with an additional set of manufacturing and distribution resources. These resources are in addition to the existing product and service offerings catering to the community's high-end residential contractors and subcontractors.
Hancock Lumber is now online with online shopping, product visualizer tools, and an enhanced account dashboard. It's never been easier to stay connected to Team Hancock's products and services. Our website overhaul, including important company information, weekly blog updates, online quoting, and more, is available at your fingertips 24/7.
Visit Hancock Lumber in Wolfboro today or go to hancocklumber.com for all your building supply needs.
Going on a trip? Start your travels with less stress.
JCN Shuttle offers transportation to and from all local and regional airports, concert venues, sporting events, and will even take you to the casino.
Need to get your car to Florida? JCN Shuttle features long-haul vehicle transport to anywhere in the continental United States.
JCN Shuttle is locally owned and operated and fully insured.
They are currently offering a 10% discount off the purchase of any gift certificate.
Give JCN Shuttle a call at 603-515-1894 or visit jcnshuttle.com.
JCN Shuttle will take you anywhere at any time.
Let them do the driving so you don't have to. When looking for a sub in town, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro. For some of the most tasty subs in town, you have to try the Full Belly Deli. Hey Charlie, do you know about the Thanks for Giving Fridays?
I sure do. Thanks for Giving. Turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and mayo on a grilled homemade white bread. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955. And don't forget to tell them Mike and the Hoss sent you.
All right, well, welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. Eric has some info for us on All-Pro versus Pro Bowl.
I do, yes. This is according to Wikipedia.
Are you on? I can't hear you.
Let's try that.
There
is
you
that
go.
Ah, okay. Now Eric's better. Live.
I had to turn myself up there. The All-Pro designation, while not officially sanctioned by the NFL, is considered a more prestigious honor than selections to the Pro Bowl. A minimum of twice as many Pro Bowlers are selected as first and second team All-Pro slots combined. So says the great God Wikipedia.
Okay. Okay. So I believe the Pro Bowl is the players who vote for it, and the All-Pro...
We'll have to look into that.
It's probably media.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. Let's get to my
maybe
take,
coaches
though.
Or whatever.
There's more.
Oh.
Roster selections are determined by the consensus of fans, players, and coaches to the Pro Bowl.
So,
all right. So fans do have a say.
I've never – maybe it's online. Yeah. I've never seen
maybe
a ballot or
– or wonder if you have to go to a game. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. Let's do your take.
All right. So as most listeners know, we've just returned from a weekend in Philadelphia, and we went to Citizens Park and enjoyed the Phillies. Braves. Unfortunately, the Phillies came out second place. But what a beautiful stadium. And I think a stadium complex.
Second place?
Yeah, second. You like that? Second place?
No.
a stadium complex should happen in New England. And I sit there and I think about this all the time. And Josh Spaulding had joined us, and you know, he is a diehard, loves Fenway, and people know that I'm critical of Fenway. I think everybody should go to Fenway for the historical significance. I think it's great as to how close you are to the field as a fan, and some of the upgrades are nice, specifically the right field bleachers. But overall, if you're sitting in some of the more expensive seats, it's uncomfortable, and it's just not a fan-friendly ballpark with the amenities. That's my opinion. That being said, most ballparks I go to, I like better than Fenway. But what we had talked about was, and Eric, you were part of this too, just the fact that we were at our hotel, and from our hotel window, we could see Citizens Park, where they play baseball. We could see Lincoln, right?
Yeah,
Lincoln Financial Field,
where the Eagles play. And then, of course, we could see what was the old Spectrum, and I think it's called Wells Fargo, where the 76ers and the Flyers play.
Correct.
And it was all – you could walk to all three, no problem. There's plenty of parking all around them. There's 3 train stations right there. There's easy access highways coming in. There's plenty of hotels. We stayed in the Navy Yard in that area. And it's just a fan – friendly atmosphere. The night we got in, Friday night, the Phillies had played a night game, and I was down in the lobby, and fans were just walking back from Citizens Park, you know, around 11:30, 12 o'clock, coming in after enjoying the game. It was like a 15-20 minute walk. And New England, we don't have that. If I want to go to a Patriots game, I have to drive to Foxborough. There's nothing in Foxborough except Gillette Stadium.
Well, Patriot Place is pretty special down there.
Yeah, it is now.
Yeah.
Fenway Park. Yeah, I guess, yeah, but it's just like a mall. I mean, it's an outdoor mall.
Well, it but has hotels it is, and stuff like that. It, yeah. I mean, I would say that Patriot Place...
That's the place where you need to build your stadium complex.
Right. But, and you know, Josh said it, that the Red Sox are not moving down to Foxborough. The Bruins are not moving down to Foxborough. And the Celtics aren't moving down to Foxborough. And the Patriots, I mean, there was talk about when the debate with Fenway was going to, if they were going to rebuild or remodel or whatever.
Right. With South Boston.
On South Boston, that they would start putting a complex there. But the Patriots are just putting in another, you know, $500 million into their stadium this year.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be replacing the stadium anytime soon.
And I'm certainly not here. You know, Gillette's gorgeous. I'm not. There's nothing. I got no problem with Gillette and going there. But I have a problem even with TD Garden, right? Even going to the Garden. Like, it's just, it's difficult to get to. Sure, you can take public transportation. But if you want to drive in, it's challenging.
It's difficult to get to anything except for Gillette.
Yeah.
Gillette being far, I mean, especially for, you know, for us, it's 2.5-3 hours down to Gillette.
Yeah.
But that is more comparable to what we're seeing with these modern day facilities.
Right.
That the difference would be, if you've ever been down to Gillette, now picture three other parks. There are two other parks.
Yeah.
Sharing the parking, sharing the facilities, sharing the amenities. It makes sense.
It does.
But it's never going to happen, at least in our lifetime.
Right. And I think it's unfortunate because it just, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm old now, but I just like having the access I like having the access to everything there. It's just, I mean, it was so easy in and easy out after the ball game the other night. It was just like, you know, Fenway, we always park in at Prudential, right? So you're going to walk 15, 20 minutes. But there's no easy in, easy out getting into Boston, whether it's for a Bruins game, a Celtics game, or a Red Sox game.
Yeah.
And it's just, I just think, you know, like I think you're probably correct, Mike. It's probably not going to happen in our lifetime. But I think as cities start to consider professional sports facilities, and we left out the Revolution. You know, they're part of it too, so they're out of Gillette. But if you think of professional sports, then putting in complexes that can handle the crowds and put people in a central location and then build infrastructure around that.
Do you know
is
the
huge.
The other thing that was pretty cool, and it doesn't happen at Fenway, tailgating. That they were tailgating for, I mean, just like you went at a football game, they were tailgating for the baseball game.
They were tailgating for a regular season baseball
game. Regular season baseball game, and that's what I love tailgating.
Yeah.
But you tailgate once a week down in Foxborough. They're tailgating 81 times in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And it felt like it had a football field environment.
It did. I mean, the grills were going, the cornhole was going.
Ton of cornhole.
It was just a great atmosphere.
I agree with you. It's just not going to happen. Now, I mean, to me, for it to happen, it can't be down in Foxborough. It's just too far away.
Right, and I don't think the Patriots. I mean, I think if you look at of the three teams, well, of the four teams,
it's going to have to be like a 100-year plan where one team, let's call it the Red Sox, commits to a South Boston location, and somebody who's a visionary that's, you know, is dealing with the city management says, okay, when the Garden needs to get rebuilt, we're not rebuilding it. We're going to put it over here in 25 years.
Right.
In 50 years, when we need to do the football stadium, that's where that's going to go. But it really have to be a long, long-term plan.
Sure.
And since you're 58, there's no way you're going to make it for that.
So I am 51. So I, as I told my family, I've got 49 years left.
Okay.
Before I expire, so I'm looking forward to my next 49 years.
All right. Well, we are too. Let's get to some Kingswood Sports, brought to you by Duran Independent Insurance.
Duran is independent and works for you.
We have some athletes of the week. Our female athlete of the week is Marcella Donito. With a host of injuries of the starting lineup, the team captain doubled down last week, spending time at center forward and center back and leading the Knights to a 1-0 double overtime win against their longtime rival, Kennett. Marcella brought the same intensity against the number one seed, Oyster River, where the Knights narrowly fell 1-0. Great job, Marcella.
Our male athlete of the week is Braden Raposa. Braden scored two goals against Plymouth within the first 5 minutes of the game this past Saturday. Braden has been consistent in the Knights' offense and a constant threat and danger to every defense. He's shown to be able to score in a variety of different ways this season. Congratulations, Braden, and great job to Marcella Dinito.
The boys' soccer team is rolling 7-2 right now. They won 6 in a row. They are they're certainly in the mix for a state title this year.
They are. They are.
And they're, you know, getting to a point where it's going to be – they're almost into a favored position.
They're getting there. So, I mean, they're currently at the 2 seed. They beat Plymouth 3-0. They've played 9 games. 5 of them have been shutouts. Big game tomorrow down at Co-Brown. Co-Brown is also 7-2. So, they play down there tomorrow, and then they host Sauhegan on Thursday at 5:30. So big week for
okay.
the Knights.
Very impressed with what the girls' soccer team is doing this year.
Yes.
3-5 right now, but as mentioned in the Athletes of the Week, they lost 1-0 to the number 1 seed.
That's amazing.
And they have a whole bunch of injuries, so they're starting to get things going. They're at Pembroke tomorrow at 4, and then they host Kennett on Friday at 4.
Yeah. Football this past weekend was a tough loss to Epping Newmarket on Saturday. We had kind of talked a little bit about that. Epping Newmarket is a great team. They were Epping Newmarket during the Jamboree was able to handle Division II Kennett. We are hosting, Mike. Not hosting. We are broadcasting the game this Friday night. They're going to host Fall Mountain on Friday night at 7. Fall Mountain is another good team coming in on Friday night. But you can listen to the game live if you can't get there. We'd love for you to just get there. But if you can't get there, Mike and the Haas will be broadcasting the game live on WASR just before 7 p.m.
On our new headsets that Eric bought us.
Yes, thank you, Eric.
Volleyball 5-3. So they had a hot start, but they started to come back a little bit. Played some tough teams. They're at Winnesquam on Tuesday at 5:45 and at St. Thomas on Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Field hockey is actually starting to roll right now. They're 3-3-1. They beat Plymouth on Friday 1-0. They host Goffstown tomorrow at 5:30, and then they're at Sauhegan on Friday. So things are starting to change there for field hockey and getting some wins.
You know, as I look at these records, the Kingswood sports are starting to – the fall sports are starting to – you're starting to see them be a lot more competitive across the board.
Yes.
You know, football is still struggling right now, but – you know, we know that Coach McCullough's got them moving in the right direction. But, you know, soccer team, in the time that I've been in Kingswood, there's been many years that they don't have a win, both the girls and the boys. Field hockey teams have generally been pretty competitive. Yeah. Volleyball team, up and down.
Sure.
You know, but they're certainly competitive this year. So this is pretty good. Now, homecoming is coming up next week, correct?
Right. So homecoming... So if you're looking to go to the homecoming dance, which I know you aren't, it's October 1st.
Correct.
Yeah, October 1st is the homecoming dance. That's the kind of the kickoff of homecoming week, and then they'll do all the fun activities that week. Starting the 7th of October, that's Friday, we'll have another home football game that we'll be broadcasting, and then the 7th and 8th, and that Saturday the 8th. On the morning of the 8th, I do want to mention this, the Kingswood Athletic Boosters is hosting at Sewell Woods a 5K fun run and walk. So I'm sure we'll see you there, you know, probably trying to set the course record.
I could.
But that's homecoming week, the 7th and 8th of October, which is Columbus Day weekend.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. When we come back, we have some Eric Wonders. And what are we talking about today, Eric?
The lines on baseball fields.
Lines on baseball fields.
Lines on baseball fields.
All right.
Which is perfect because Eric gave it to us while we were sitting at Citizens Park. He's watching the baseball game. And his wonder, I mean, I could see the brain working. And he's like, I got to wonder. And all of a sudden, it's on my phone.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Charlie Hossack from Mike and the Haas. Whether you're an Olympic athlete, weekend warrior, or just plain old like me, you should visit Seacoast Spine and Sports Injury Clinic. They have locations in Portsmouth, Hampton, and Alton, New Hampshire. The clinic has received numerous awards such as Best of Seacoast and Best of New Hampshire, and they accept most major health insurances. The clinic provides chiropractic sports medicine, routine chiropractic care, physical therapy, and naturopathic medicine. My family and I have been regular patients at the Seacoast Spine and Sports Clinic for the past 6 years and highly recommend them for all of your healthcare needs. Check them out on the web at seacoastsportsinjuries.com.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Haas. If you're in the real estate market, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Fay brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Fay, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Faye. No one knows the local market better than Faye, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or verani.com.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy Boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy Box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss at yumyumshop.com. Welcome back to Mike and Hoss. We were just talking about chocolate shakes.
Chocolate shakes.
What? I mean, yeah. Where? The Bubble has a phenomenal chocolate shake.
The Bubble does a great shake.
You know, we had a Shake Shack shake at the Bubble. Or I had a Shake Shack shake.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
And it was okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've had a Shake Shack shake before. Shake Shack shake before. And this was not as good as the normal ones. It was ballpark.
You know my favorite shake? Chick-fil-A. Their shakes are out of this world. Okay. Absolutely delicious.
Better than Friendly's?
Oh, my. No, of course not better than Friendly's.
Okay,
but
that's what I
Friendly's
thought.
Is amazing. And then the other one, local, kind of a local shake if you're down in the Rochester area, the Mooyah shakes. Have you had the Mooyah shakes?
I had the Mooyah shake. I was okay.
You were not happy?
You had one at Wild Willie's?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Lone Oak.
I have had one at Wild Willie's.
Yeah, Willie's good. Lone Oak is good.
Yeah, I like sometimes I like a. You did a chocolate shake. Were there other options? I like a coffee shake. Do they do coffee shakes?
There was vanilla, and the chocolate one's called the Black and White.
Okay,
that's how they name it there. All right, Eric's Wonders brought to you by Skelly's Market,
the convenience store with a little more.
And so Eric came at us with, "What are the white stripes on the baseball field made of?"
Yeah,
you wanted you
sure.
You
I mean,
some
I know.
Work. You did some work
I know,
on this.
And you know. Yeah, yeah. The white foul lines on the infield, Eric, are usually made of pulverized chalk or lime, and the outfield foul lines are usually aerosol paint. And here's a little to put into your know file: the width of foul lines in Major League Baseball is 4 inches. And kind of funny, I got a chuckle, kind of researching this and making sure that I knew what I was talking about. But for years, Mike and I, when we were coaching Cal Ripken, whoever the home team was had to get there, and you know you had to fill up the machine, which is like a little, it's almost like a little push mower type thing, right?
Yeah.
To be able to do the lines, and you'd have to get it straight. So you'd pull out a piece of string to make sure it was straight on the baseline, and you'd fill that up. And we use lime, correct?
We use
for
lime.
Cal Ripken, yeah,
we use lime.
So and we'd kind of you'd do the straight line, and then you'd do the box around home plate. You'd have the batter's box, right hander, left hander's batter's box, and the catcher's box. But yeah, so it's made out of pulverized chalk or lime, and the grass, they just use an aerosol paint so it doesn't harm the grass.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
How come they don't use paint for all of it?
Well, the infield is it's dirt.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's just the pulverized chalk and lime is actually heavy, and it kind of lays down. And if you notice, Mike as a, you know, big-time baseball player that he was, you notice that the baseball players, when they come on the field, you never step. It's bad luck to step on the foul line. So they always step over it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you know who else stepped over it the other day? The Philly Fanatic, who is by far the best mascot in baseball, and he made sure not to step on any of the foul lines.
I still say he looks like the Capital City goofball on The Simpsons.
I got to check that out. So, but he was a lot of fun to see the Philly Fanatic in person. First time ever, Mike.
Yeah, came out on that little ATV you know, rode around the stadium.
So cool.
He was pretty active.
Very active.
It was a good crowd, too. They played the Braves, and we got to see Bryce Harper hit a home run, which is really the biggest thing I wanted to see.
That was a highlight.
And not that I'm a big Bryce Harper fan, but
you want to see that he's a star.
He's a
you
star.
You want to see a star.
And I
want to
see him do what he does, and that's he hits the ball very far.
Yep.
And he did.
Did you notice, did you watch his little routine when he's in the batter's box? He does
it. Yes, the little legs together.
Yeah, Bernie and I were like laughing about that every time because, you know, he first opens his leg, puts them together, does like a little shimmy,
yeah.
You know, checks his batting gloves, touches the base, touches home plate.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever studied a swing. There's a lot of videos out there on Bryce Harper's swing, and I was interested when he was doing that because he wants his legs to move together. When he loads, both legs come back and both legs go forward and when he releases. And that's what that was for. It wasn't a dance. Who was the – I think I'm thinking about the movie Major League. The guy that would wiggle his butt in the batter's box because it was a thing.
It wasn't Willie Mays Hayes, was it?
No, it was in the second one. It was,
so
it,
he would
it
just –
doesn't matter.
All right.
Yeah. But it, I don't
no, this
think
– there's
I
science behind a shimmy.
Yes. I don't think that Bryce Harper – this was not – Nomar Garciaparra ripping his gloves off and on, you know, 20 times. You know, it wasn't a ritual. I think he's working on something. Just like Dustin Pedroia used to, in the batters, in the on-deck circle, used to swing at balls, imaginary balls that were at his eye level.
Yes.
Because he never wanted to get beat up high. You know, it was part of, it wasn't a routine necessarily to show things off.
No.
It was.
He was training his brain. He was training,
right.
Yeah.
That's I mean, I was a little disappointed. Bernie's going to be upset with me. I was a little disappointed on how some of the Phillies carry themselves. And I've talked about this on the show, you know, many a times. I don't like it when players act like they've won or made it before they've done that. And I thought a lot of the guys in the Phillies, not all of them, but a lot of the guys in the Phillies.
One of the things that happened.
Out there to embrace the entertainment aspect of it.
Sure.
Rather than the actual winning the game.
I noticed, and I don't know which Phillies player it was, but there was a Phillies player that didn't run out his ground ball.
Yep.
And nothing more frustrating. I mean, we teach our kids, you know, from age 8, you run it out. Run it out full speed, run it out, doesn't matter. And the fact that I don't even think he had left the batter's box.
And I think one of them dogged out a pop-up and he missed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it came back to bite them because the Phillies end up losing the game. It's just things like that. And, you know, guys, it's not the Phillies. There's obviously a lot of other teams, and there's some guys in the Red Sox that do it too, and it's frustrating. But, you know, a guy grounds out, and he runs, you know, past first base, and then it takes him 15 minutes to walk into
the
dugout because it's just, like, you know, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
You know, the only people that I think can get along with, you know, get around with that was David Ortiz. You know, somebody who's won, made it.
Right.
You know, I don't even think Aaron Judge could do that right now because he's never won a World Series.
Right.
You don't see Mike Trout doing things like that.
You don't.
To me, the guys that are on the field need to – you don't have to sprint back into the dugout.
No, just but jog back into the dugout.
That's one thing I like about what Chip has his players – I think he has his players do at the high school team, unless they do it on their own, is that when they strike out, most of them have a little hop back to the dugout.
Yep.
Don't be out there. Yep. You know, get back in the dugout. Yep. After you ground out at first base
– it's not a stroll.
Have a jog back to the dugout.
Right.
Let's move on. The other piece of it, and I was keeping track of this, I am so looking forward to the pitch clock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we were talking about
so
that.
So I had my stopwatch going and just to see what the difference would be, and there wasn't one single pitch for the time that I was doing it that the guy pitched in under the limit.
Right.
Not one single pitch. And so now you're talking, and some of them, they were, he was like 15 seconds over, and uh-oh. Just a test, Eric? Are we off now? We're back on?
No, we're back on.
Okay.
That was just a test.
Just a test.
Of the emergency broadcasting system.
Some of them were, you know, 15 seconds. I would say they averaged probably 5 to...
So this rule is actually going to make a huge impact because if you're a major league pitcher and you've decided your whole career you've taken 45 seconds in between pitches to do whatever you do, this is going to really change the game.
This game that we went to, the final score was 6-3. The Braves pitcher had a no-hitter into the sixth inning,
so
there wasn't like there was a lot of base runners or anything like that.
Right.
3.5 hours.
Yeah. It was
a
long game.
The game was 3.5 hours. It went on forever and ever and ever, and it was because the only thing that could slow the game up is the pitchers because there wasn't a ton of action. There was some action. There was a couple home runs and things like that.
Right.
But there wasn't a ton of action. It wasn't a 13-12 game where it was just on the pitchers and how slow that they were working. And to think that if, you know, roughly there's 70 batters, give or take, in a game for both teams, maybe a little bit more than that. And if you're saving a minute or two per batter,
it's going to be huge.
It adds up.
Yeah, the game's going to be a lot faster.
And based just on my stopwatch, a couple of batters would have been a minute or two just if the pitcher would have thrown the damn ball.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting to see. Here's the other piece. The umpires are going to need to enforce it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's going to come down, and it's kind of a bummer for the umpires, but they're going to need to say, nope, it's, you know, time's up. We're going to, you know, it's a ball, it's whatever.
And does a pitcher have to release the ball at the end of the stopwatch, or does he have to start his windup at the end of the stopwatch?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because the closer for Atlanta,
oh my gosh,
had like a
talk about
30,
a shimmy
a
30 shake.
Second
yeah.
windup.
Yeah.
He was shimmying and doing all kinds of dancing before he threw
Could
the pitch.
I mean, he was good. Can you imagine being a batter? You don't know when the ball is going to come. Like, he, you know, crazy.
Let's jump Celtics. On Thursday, last Thursday, we talked about Ime Udoka.
We had talked about him, and at that time he hadn't had
had it. And it made it official on Thursday night that he is suspended for the year.
Yes. They did ask Brad. You saw all this. Brad Stevens had been asked, you know, would he go down and coach the team for the year, and he declined to do that.
Yeah, because they feel pretty good about the assistant coach that they have.
Yes.
We had said, and I think that, you know, you and I got into it a little bit, but there's got to be more to this.
Yes.
There's more to it, and we're starting to get a little crumbs here and there about it coming out.
The one thing that we had I don't know if we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about it on air, is that we both disagreed. We didn't like the fact that all of a sudden these females of these executives or Celtics executives, they were starting to put pictures of females who are in the Celtics organization, which is just so wrong.
But I put that on the Celtics. Not that the Celtics put the pictures out there, but they created that environment where they waited the 48 hours to make an announcement about specifically what it was. So they leaked the story.
Yeah.
And then let it fester for 48 hours and then came in.
Right.
And they still haven't said who the female is, and it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
But there's so much speculation about it, and that's on the Celtics about poorly handling a situation. I do applaud the Celtics and Brad Stevens and Wick were in the press conference very apologetic to their female staffers that they have, that they didn't deserve any of that stuff. And so, I mean, they own that. But social media right now and Twitter and everything like that, it just needs a crumb. It needs a crumb.
They'll get anything.
And all these beat reporters for the NBA, their job is to find crumbs.
Yeah. I mean, that's how they find success for
themselves.
That's
right. So
they're always sniffing around, you know, what's the next big story?
The Celtics could have handled this much cleaner. Now, if there is another shoe to drop, which there seems to be, that something's
sure
going to
be
wrong. Do you think Ime ever coaches the Celtics again? Is he done?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done because they keep asking, not they, but, you know, what about next year? And they're like, well, we'll discuss that once he's finished, you know, with his suspension.
Or the investigation.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Or the investigation.
They don't say or the investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, even remember when Cora was suspended, they said, like, right away, well, he'll be coming back. He's going to be our manager.
They did, and they had a wretched year when he was gone.
Yeah.
What if the Celtics
win it this year?
Well, let's not win it, because win it would be an easy decision. But let's say Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, they'd have to get back there because they've already been there.
Yes. So let's say Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. I would say you could probably part ways with Ime.
I think so, too.
Don't you think?
I think so. It's going to come out. This is not the Patriots where Belichick, we still don't know why Malcolm Butler didn't play.
Right.
This is going to come out, and I'm so torn on it, because if it's really, really bad, then why didn't they just fire him in the first place?
Right.
Why are they hanging and letting him hang around, leaving the door open for
him to
come back?
There's got to be something legally there.
No.
Don't you think?
Yeah, that could be.
So.
Until the investigation's
over. Until the investigation. There certainly could be some money involved. So, a little severance package.
Real quick, before we go to break, little baseball question for you. What was the bigger feat? 61 home runs, which Judge did not get this weekend against the Red Sox.
So that would be Roger Maris.
The Red Sox tried really hard to give it to him, but they didn't get it. Or Albert Pujols, 700 home runs.
I don't think there's a debate here. Albert Pujols, 700 home runs. You know, longevity, being in the league that long, 700 home runs. I mean, 61 home runs. I mean, Roger Maris hit 61 home runs, and he's not someone. I mean, certainly he's a great player, but it's just like
he's a good player. He wasn't a great player.
It's just kind of it was
not
a blip. I mean, you could have, you know, Sammy Sosa hit that. I granted, I know it was PEDs.
What if it would have been Mickey Mantle who hit the 61 home runs?
I still think. I mean, Mickey Mantle, obviously Hall of Famer.
But Mickey Mantle's a considered a all-time great player.
Yeah.
Or you know, Bobby Bonds, or you know, Willie Mays, or somebody like that.
So
what if it was?
I know
somebody
we don't
like that. But the fact that it was Maris who was not very
right.
good comparably.
Mike, there's only four players in MLB history that have hit over 700 home runs.
Yeah.
So hitting 700 home runs, you got Barry Bonds with 762, Hank Aaron 755, Babe Ruth with 714, and now Albert Pujols, who's still playing, with 700. So there's no questions
we're
asked.
We're not having an argument on this because yeah. I'm with you. I think that 700 home runs over a career is a bigger feat. Which one is getting what got more airtime over the past over the weekend, because that's
which
when
one got more airtime.
Yeah,
I mean every time they cut into Judge, they want to see Judge
cut,
hit
exactly.
61. But I mean, Pujols got his he got what he deserved as far as credit.
Okay,
I mean he was the play of the week for ESPN, and
well,
I mean,
he got Judge didn't hit his.
He got play time.
All
so
right. We'll be right back. Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit.
After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with two large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or duranindependentinsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you. All right, welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. Back Bay Boathouse.
Yeah, Back Bay Boathouse specials. Monday through Friday from 11:30 to 4, they have $6 appetizer specials, $9 sandwich specials, and $10 meal deals. Monday nights, that's tonight, Mike. Two for you. Order two of our most popular entrees, and you pay one price. Wednesday, 69-cent wings and half-off bottles of wine. Thursday is $20 prime rib, and kids eat free. Friday and Saturday night, more prime rib and more dinner specials. Sundays, when the Patriots play, you get a $20 Patriots pack, which is a pitcher of beer and two appetizers. There's also $5 pounds of wings all day. The only thing is, these specials are for in-house guests only. But Mike, lunch and dinner menu is now available for takeout 7 days a week. So head on down to the Back Bay Boathouse and tell them Mike and the Hoss sent you.
All right. Did you watch the Patriots game yesterday?
I sure did. I mean, as when we listened to the game in the beginning. We listened to the first quarter of the game on the radio.
It wasn't a complete disaster. It wasn't a complete disaster. Patriots were winning for a little while.
They were, but this was a game that, I don't know. This was a game I just expected them to win.
Really?
I didn't expect. Well, first of all, I didn't expect them to lose, and I just thought that they would look better. And I was disappointed. I was really disappointed with the defense.
Yeah, I mean, at times the defense. I mean, Baltimore had a ton of three and outs. They had, you know, they punted the ball four or five times. They had a turnover. It didn't feel like. Who am I thinking of? The quarterback.
Jackson.
Lamar.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like he had 102 yards rushing.
Right.
You know, there wasn't that.
It felt like the containment bit.
They did.
But I wanted to say the other thing. What I kind of got out of this is, going in, I knew the Ravens weren't a very good team, and now I really know the Patriots stink.
You just coming to that realization?
I was, because I thought the Patriots would get this win, and they're going to go to you know, they're playing Green Bay this week. They don't have a prayer against Green Bay.
Really? Green Bay's not that special now.
And did you watch last night's game?
I did. They barely got by Tampa, and Tampa had no receivers.
I know. I don't. Yeah, we'll talk about the Patriots as far as Green Bay, but I feel like you, Mike. I feel like, you know, they'll be lucky to get three wins.
Oh, I told you yesterday when we were driving back that if the Patriots win, at least we'll have a football season.
Right.
And if they lose, then three wins is back on the table. They just don't look like a good operation. They don't.
Right.
You know, when the plays, Mac Jones had three interceptions yesterday. Two of them were to Devontae Parker. And now that makes four interceptions in three games that he's intended to pass for Devontae Parker and the other team is intercepted. Mm-hmm. Miscommunication all over the place. The interception, the costly interception that he had in the end zone, Devontae Parker didn't know what the play was.
Right.
He didn't know what the play was. And Mac audibled at the line. They went to their second play, and then he went back to their first play, and Devontae was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's why he didn't get to the corner, back in the corner end zone. Right. The throw it up to Devontae offense, granted, he had 156 yards yesterday.
Sure. He had a good game.
But there was also two interceptions. I mean, don't you think that some of the interceptions, when you're a receiver, you have to take a little bit of responsibility for that based
right.
on how you're open or the route that you ran or anything like that? His stats were good, and the interceptions fall on Mac Jones, but the offensive philosophy of throw the ball to Devontae
mm-hmm.
doesn't seem to be working for them. Costly fumble with Aguilar. They're marching down. That would have put him in range to get a go-ahead score.
That's right.
I mean, it was a lot closer than you would give credit for.
The game was close, sure.
So I was up on Parker because, you know, I guess he finally delivered what we thought he was going to deliver. I was up on Stevenson.
Yep. Ran the ball well.
I was up on Dietrich Wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was up on Jonathan Jones.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. I really wasn't up on anybody else.
Right. I was really one of the disappointments, and I know you have some here for the downs, but one of the disappointments that I have is that the Patriots had talked about they're going to start having tight ends again. They got Hunter Henry. You got Jonnu Smith, right? And it doesn't. They do nothing with their tight ends. They targeted Hunter Henry twice. It's just that's so frustrating because think about the Patriots of old, you know, and you had tight ends. I mean, obviously Gronk, but I'm just saying that was part of their offense. And now they're saying, okay, we want to go back to it, but they're not going back to it. They're not even targeting.
They don't know how. And this falls on one of the downs. The downs is still the coaching. How many broken plays did they have yesterday?
Yeah.
Broken plays where, a fourth down play. They run a stupid 1 yard out when they needed three. It didn't make sense at all. The 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
It was a completely broken play. The 2-point conversions, you're supposed to have those in your back pocket. You're supposed
right.
to have three or four of them. And I remember of Patriots of old, when the Atlanta Super Bowl, it wasn't that long ago,
no.
They had 3 2-point conversions that were in their pocket all year long, and they just ran them.
Yeah.
They just ran their 2 points. So there was no question, these are our 2-point plays. They didn't have a 2-point play.
No.
And it ended up being a broken play. The coaching is showing so much. And so it's hard to, and I put Mac Jones as another one that's down. It's hard to be really down on Mac Jones, but he doesn't look like a real good NFL quarterback right now.
No.
And his arm strength is not there. It really isn't. And his decision-making, which was supposed to be good, is not there.
It's poor.
Seems very frustrated. He's injured. We're not going to see him
for a few months. Yeah.
Anyway, a few months. They're talking surgery now. And it's
Where do the Patriots
I'm okay with Mac not being there. I really am. I just...
So are we going to see? Are we going to see Brian Hoyer? Which I'm fine
we're
with.
Gonna
or are
we going to see?
Are we going to see Bailey Zappe?
No, we're going to see Brian Hoyer.
Okay.
You know why? Because their season's still,
relevant.
It is in Bill's eyes. You know, if they beat Green Bay,
yeah.
You know, we're 2-2. That was the goal to come out of this thing with 2-2. you're looking at other teams around the league that are definitely fallible. You know, we'll get to some of the other games, but they're definitely teams. You know, maybe 9 wins get you there. I don't think they're going to get the 9 wins. I think they're still at 3 wins.
Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. Let's say the Patriots are 2-12. Just pulling that out. 2-12. Do you see Kraft getting rid of Belichick during the season?
No.
So let him finish the season.
Definitely not during the season. I could see Kraft getting rid of Belichick, not because of Belichick,
yeah,
because of what he surrounded himself with in terms of coaching.
Right.
And I could see an ultimatum coming that says, Bill, it didn't work. You either hire an offensive coordinator, hire a defensive coordinator, hire a special teams coach, hire a general manager, or we're going to move on.
Does Robert Kraft move Bill into the general manager as far as like just slide him off the field?
I don't want him to.
I don't either. Yeah, but I'm saying that because Robert Kraft seems like a very loyal human being.
I don't think so. And I think that just like the ending for Brady was bitter, I see the ending for Belichick being bitter also. Okay. And it's going to come around about his kids because the Patriots are going to cut bait. If they don't win, if they go 2-12 like your scenario said, and they clean house, Belichick's going to be pretty upset with that if his kids don't have jobs. And his kids haven't earned any jobs.
Right.
That's the other piece. They don't – defensive coordinator, they're not earning that.
No.
So you kind of beat me to the punch on the Josh McDaniels thing. The Raiders are 0-3, and I said, well, maybe they're going to have him come back to the offensive coordinator position by week 7.
Right, right. So with the Raiders being 0-3, Mark Davis, the owner, met with Josh McDaniels behind closed doors. That's never a good thing.
That's never a good thing.
And
he could be unemployed by week 6 and be back with the Patriots as offensive coordinator.
I'm okay with that.
I am too.
Yeah.
And that'll be the – and then you can have him forever because nobody will ever touch him for a head coaching job again.
That's right. That experiment would have failed.
It would have failed again. And so now you say, okay, bring him back. Patricia, Matt, you go and do what you do.
Yeah.
But you're not touching the offense anymore. Josh is coming back. And, it would be – Josh would come in as an offensive consultant.
Maybe then Patricia becomes the defensive coordinator.
Maybe.
So who knows?
All right, we got to do our picks.
All right.
Cleveland – what?
I'm sorry. I said we have to go over our picks of what we had.
I got nervous.
You're saying do our picks. I'm like, I'm not ready for this week's NFL games.
Oh, my God. All right. Cleveland won. So we both won that one. I picked Buffalo. You picked Miami. Good pick on that one.
Yeah.
Miami's for real.
They are.
We both picked Tampa.
Yeah.
Tampa lost.
14-12.
And
Aaron Rodgers.
We both picked San Francisco. That was a very disappointing game last night.
Very disappointing.
They came out. I thought they looked good, and then they just went flat.
They lost, 11-10.
Yeah. I picked Baltimore, and you picked New England, so you lost that one. Okay. So 2-2, or 2-2. We were both 2-3.
Yeah. Okay. So
I didn't lose any ground.
You didn't lose any ground. I didn't gain anything. So yeah, all right. I'm still up by 3 games.
You were up by 3 games.
Okay.
So we'll
we'll have to iron that out.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it was just kind of a disappointing. I mean, it was a disappointing week for football because Tom lost. So that kind of bummed me out. For Bernie, the Bills lost, and I feel for him.
Did you see the reaction of Ken Dorsey, or John Dorsey, whatever his first name is? The offensive coordinator.
He
lost it. I don't blame him. That guy's got to get out of bounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. You got to get out of bounds. And they were iffy field goal range at that point.
Right.
But he decided to turn up field and.
Yeah. Didn't make sense because he had a clear lane right to the sideline.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Anyway. All right. We'll talk about Patriots later. We'll be back on Thursday.
Yeah.
We want to once again thank our advertisers supporting Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the Yum Shop. Thanks to Faymore, Berkshire Hathaway,
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic,
Skelly's Market,
Bailey's Bubble,
Lucas Roasting Company,
Duran Independent Insurance,
Downtown Grill and Cafe,
Bradley's Hardware,
JCN Shuttle,
The Full Belly Deli,
Hancock Lumber,
The Back Bay Boathouse,
and the Heinz Group of Philadelphia and London. We will be back on Thursday for more Mike and the Hoss.